It's now my duty and pleasure to call on our Brother Bob for his those very written words of exhortation.
Well, good morning, everybody. Before I start, I'm going to ask quite a few questions this morning. I'm not expecting out loud answers, obviously, but I do want you to be very honest with yourself during this, because obviously this process doesn't work unless we're truly honest with ourselves, because that's the whole point of exhortation, isn't it, and why we're here. So to start, I'd like to go to that first reading in Psalm chapter 6, please. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chastise me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. Is this how we feel this morning? Has God got good reason to be angry at you? Have you done something this week that makes you think, that wasn't quite right, was it? And that actually makes you feel that, in fairness, God should be angry with me, but we know through forgiveness we are okay. Have we been spiritually weak? Has there times where a temptation has come up and we've fallen to it? We've been vexed by our temptations and we've become guilty of it. And we know that that's a time again where God could be angry at us. If, like me, you've answered yes to the above questions, you're most likely your mind is in the right place for why we are here. But to take it further, it's very easy to read that and we know that we are meant to feel that we need forgiveness and stuff and just go, yes, obviously I need forgiveness. But to take it a step further, why? You know how the toddler asks, why, Daddy? Why, Daddy? Why, Daddy? You haven't got to that yet. It's always what that noise, but that's by and by. But she always asks why. It's a process that engineers use to find the root cause of problems. You always say it's the five whys. You go, well, why did that happen? Because that caused, why did that happen? And so on. So ask yourself now, why for each of those yeses? Why has God made you got good reason to be mad at you? Why have you been spiritually weak? And why have you been vexed by your temptations? Is it your life choices? Is it something you've chosen to do this week? Is it something that you enjoy that you need to cut out from your life? Is it the people you spend time with? These are all questions we need to ask ourselves as part of our examination. Let's go to 1 John 1, please, for our next passage. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from our unrighteousness. So we've all sinned. We all know we've sinned. We're very aware of it. We read that passage there and we realise that we have sinned. And if we say we haven't, we're lying. So we're sinning anyway. But it says that it's confessing our sins. I'm not asking you to confess your sins out loud. I'm not asking to create a confession box or anything. I'm just saying confess your sins between you and God. But if we do go to James chapter 5 and verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another, for ye may be healed. The effectant, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, the NIV for faults says sins there, so we can read it as confess your sins to one another. I'm not asking you to do that now, but I'm asking you to have that thought in mind to that loved one, that close friend, that person you trust, or whoever it may be, is to maybe talk to them about why you've said yes to those previous questions and why you feel that. They might be able to offer words of advice. They might have experienced those temptations. They might be able to point you in a passage and might be able to help you. These are all things that we can do. But in order to do that, to confess our sins, we've got to look at ourselves. If we go to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11, and verses 27 to 29. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye are ye be disposed to go. I think I've got the wrong passage here. Ah, it's because I'm reading 10. Sorry. Okay, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 27 to 29. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of his body and blood of the Lord. But ye, a man, examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. He said, we are instructed, aren't we, when we take, we break this bread and drink this wine, to examine ourselves. And that's what, why I say we've got to be honest with the questions that we ask ourselves in this process now, is because we are examining ourselves. And if we find ourselves unworthy during an examination, we obviously have that forgiveness that we'll speak of later, but we shouldn't drink of it, should we, if we find ourselves unworthy? But I pray that's not the case, and I also would like to point out later on, we'll talk about that idea of forgiveness. And why we are lucky enough to be able to realise we are unworthy, but then still partake of it through that forgiveness. But now if we go over to our last reading, the reading that we had read for this morning, I think it's perfectly set up for this process of examination, isn't it? It's got a list of characteristics. List of characteristics that we should try and express in our lives in order to be followers of Christ and be correct people. So let's go straight in at chapter 5, verse 5. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Have we been meek this week? Have we been humble? Have we trusted in God's strength or our own? Verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Have you at any point this week been hungry or thirsty? I know not hunger and thirst as in to the point of death, but have you thought you needed food or drink at any point this week? Have you had the same feeling towards the Word of God? Have you thought, oh, I really need to read God's Word today, or I really need to pray to God today? Or have we just done it because we feel we have to? Verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Have you been merciful this week? Merciful, as I understand it, reading in old English in modern lifetime, mercy is not really something we get to show that often, is it? But could it be better rendered, have you shown love to people? As we have read in the later part of this reading about showing love to those that hate you, we show to those who love us is very easy, and the publicans do the same. It's not no great thing, but those that hate you, have we shown love to those? Those who mock us or make us feel unworthy or run us down because of our beliefs, have we shown love to those? Have we had forgiveness? Have we forgiven people? Have people done things against us and we've thought, that really annoys me, and not forgiven them, but just kept it in the back of your mind, a little bit irritated. Next time you speak to them, you're maybe a bit sharp with them. Has that been the case this week, or have you been able to show mercy and forgive people? Verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Have we, at any point this week, been a peacemaker? Have we at any point in this week had a situation where you could tell someone that thing that so-and-so said about them last week and you've done it? Or have you at any point deliberately wound someone up to see what their reaction is and just to enjoy that? Maybe it wasn't malicious, maybe it was just a conversation that would just happen to go that way. I don't know. I don't know what situation you might arrive in, but have you shown that? Have you been a peacemaker, or have you pushed people? I will add at that point there that if you're pushing someone towards correcting their actions in a way of God, then that's completely different. That's what we should be doing. If someone gets angry because we've addressed a bad point in their characteristics, that's what we should be doing. We shouldn't accept bad teaching between ourselves because we don't want to cause argument, but also we shouldn't deliberately pick fault with people when it might not necessarily be so important. Let's read verses 10 to 12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Forget it is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets before you. Have you been persecuted this week? If you're like me and this week you spent it around family and loved ones, very unlikely. But maybe the week before when we were at work or college or school, I don't think anyone actually goes to school in this room, have you had persecution? Has someone said to you, oh, you're at church again? Are you going to church on Christmas Day, are you? Or anything like that, derogatory tone of voice, or what they've said nasty and you've just been upset by it and angry and annoyed and wound up by it and everything. But what we should be doing is sitting there and taking it on the chin and rejoicing in it one step further, isn't it? It's not just a matter of, okay, I'm not going to say anything, I'm just going to be quiet. No, it's having that feeling of rejoicement and thinking, I've been found worthy enough to suffer persecution for your sake. It shows that we've shown that characteristic in our life, that people want to say that, doesn't it? It's very hard. I've never experienced it like the Apostle Paul experiences it, but we've all experienced a bit of mickey taking, I imagine. And it's very easy to get upset by it and start thinking, oh, it's not fair. Why is it me? I do all I can. I'm a good person. Why are you taking the mick out of me? It's not fair. I didn't do anything to you. Or do you think, I must be doing something right for them to notice something worth taking the mick out of and rejoiced in that fact? Verses 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it give light unto all that are in the house. Let your light shine, light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Have you shone your light bright this week? Or again, going back to the week before this, the week built to Christmas, did your light shine bright? Did you let people know that your beliefs and that what you'd be doing and how you didn't celebrate Christmas for the reasons that they think you might do, and that you celebrate Christ's birth and death every week? Or did you just go along with it and keep quiet because, well, it's easier that way, isn't it? They won't take the mick. We should get our light, we should shine it bright, shouldn't we, individually and as an ecclesia. Have we achieved that? I don't know, I leave you to decide that, but that's what we have to consider, isn't it? Have we shone our light bright? Have we stayed true to our word? Have we stayed true to God's word? Have we shone bright as ecclesia? Have we gone out of our way to preach to people, put on events, been welcoming people? That's what we have to remember, isn't it? If, like some of you, if like me, down you go down that list and you go, yeah, I've done that this week. I don't think I've spread any rumours. I think I've diffused a few situations. Yeah, I've been a peacemaker this week. If you read down that list and you say yes to some of them, is it true? Or are you now being boastful and letting your human nature run away with you and go, yeah, I'm quite a meek person. I'm probably the meekest person in this room. Are you being meek then? No, you're not. But you've got to think about these. You go down and you say, yeah, I've done that. I'm not saying it's a tick list. But you've got to think about these things and be realistic and true with yourself. Have we achieved this? Most likely, when you start digging proper deep into it, you might have done it in face value, but deep down, you still have got it wrong. You might still hold that grudge, although you've said, oh, it's okay, I'll let you, it's fine, we'll forget about it. And you don't bring it up again, but deep down, you have it in the back of your mind, you still haven't fully forgiven that person for what they've done. Let's go to, carry on in Matthew, in verses 23 to 24. Therefore, if you bring a gift to the altar, and there remainest that and rememberest that thou hast aught against thy brother, leave thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first, and reconcile to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Again, you've got to sit there and look back on yourself over this last week, last year, not 2016, 2015, and consider, have I got a problem with my brother or my sister from X, Y, or Z, or what they've done in the past, or what they've done this morning, or whenever? Have you got a problem with them? Have you made the effort to go and speak to them, to try and reconcile that problem, to correct whatever was wrong, understand why you've had that falling out? Is it over God's word? Is it over something trivial? If you either need reconciling, don't know if it's against something against God's word, it's even more important, isn't it? We need to understand what God's word says. And if it's something that's against scriptures, agree with your adversary quickly, as it says in Matthew chapter 5 later on. We need to be ready to accept other people's differing views on things that aren't scriptural and just accommodate them, shouldn't we? But if we do have fault, we need to, with our brother, we can't break bread. We can't be here breaking bread and drinking wine while thinking, oh, brother so-and-so, they're so annoying, can we? We have to forgive that brother, even if it's something that's just a niggling thing. We just have to forgive them and think, it's a failing in me that I find that an issue. And that links back to when we read in verse 7 about being, let me read it, being merciful, forgiving people and showing them love. If you love someone, you ignore the faults, don't you? If you're forgiving someone, you obviously ignore the faults. And that's what we have to do, isn't it? We can't be here breaking bread if we haven't forgiven someone, because we can't ask God to forgive us if we aren't forgiven, if we don't forgive. If we go back to 1 Corinthians 11. And we look again. I won't read them again, those words. In verse 27 and 29. But again, it's expressing that thing about examining ourselves. I can't examine you from here, can I? I can't look down and go, Brother Paul, oh, that's not good, that's bad, that's excellent, or that's bad. I can't do that. The only person who can do, well, there's two people who can do it. There's yourself, and there's God. You can deceive yourself, but you can't deceive God, can you? So I want you to, in a minute, I'll finish my exhortation. I'll sit down and invite Brother Pete to leave us a moment to think and to examine ourselves personally before we go into the breaking of bread, to truly reflect on ourselves and look and be honest to ourselves. Are we worthy? And when we realise that we're not worthy, because I pretty much guarantee you will find that you're not worthy, to remember 1 John 1. And that verses 5 to 10. This then be the message which ye have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is the light, and in him is no darkness. For if ye say, we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do no truth. And that's not the one passage I was after. Oh well, I appear to have marked the wrong passage down. Yeah, apologies for that. But what I'd like you to then remember is that chance of forgiveness that we have. Isn't it through the fact that Christ has died? Why we are here is to remember that forgiveness that is offered to us through the death of Christ. And like I say, I will sit down now. And I want you to then think, maybe read through Matthew chapter 5 while you do this. And look at those attitudes and those things that are presented to us. And examine ourselves, question ourselves against those. And consider, do I meet the mark or do I not? And when you do realise that you don't meet the mark and why, confess those faults to God and try and work on those points.